Scientists have long known that there are places in the ocean that are deep, really deep. In fact, the ocean's deepest point was named in 1876 after the Royal Navy's Challenger expedition that discovered it. In the broad Pacific Ocean near Guam, Challenger Deep descends to 36,000 feet. How deep is that? Turn Mount Everest upside down, add a mile, and you still wouldn't touch bottom. For centuries, the assumption was that nothing could live in the deep ocean because of the enormous pressure, lack of sunlight, and extreme cold at such depths. But no one really knew, and exploration was impossible until the advent of deep submersibles, like the Alvin, Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution's now famous little snub-nosed sub. Its cockpit is a titanium sphere with walls 2 inches thick. Its working depth is 15,000 feet, almost 3 miles. It can carry enough oxygen for 3 scientists to remain at depth for 9 hours. And if this sounds like the start of an adventure story, that's because it is. 37 years ago, off the coast of the Galapagos Islands, where Charles Darwin more or less worked out his theory of natural selection, another major discovery occurred. Deep in the Galapagos Rift, oceanographer Bob Ballard and his team rowed Alvin 8,000 feet down and witnessed life not as we knew it. They became the first humans to view deep-sea hydrothermal vents. Deep-sea vents are associated with cracks and volcanism on the sea floor caused by the gargantuan shifting of Earth's tectonic plates. In the total darkness, chimney-like formations appeared, spewing shimmering, inky, sulfurous, and superheated water up to 750 degrees that was remarkably acidic with a pH close to that of vinegar. Yet around these smokers, in conditions seemingly toxic to life, there was life. It was like something out of a science fiction movie. The deep-sea vents were oases of life amid miles of featureless seafloor, teeming with animals unlike anything anyone had ever seen. Microbial mats that looked like fur, clams, mussels, and crabs scrabbling about giant 9-foot-long tube worms with stunningly red plumes. Around the vents were swarms of amphipods that might be the densest concentrations of invertebrate life on the planet. It was a unique and ancient chemosynthetic food web, unchained from and completely independent of the sun, which scientists had, up to that moment, assumed was the source of all life. In this ecosystem, life depends on heat and a soup of chemicals and archaic bacteria, some related to the very first life on Earth. Impossible though it seems, the biomass of these hydrothermal vent communities is equivalent to that of a rainforest. In the years since Alvin's record-breaking dive, scientists continue to discover unique arrays of animal species at each new vent field they study. In 2012, in deep-sea vents around Antarctica, researchers found hairy-chested yeti crabs and predatory sea stars not seen in any other vent system. The discovery of hydrothermal vents and their associated life forms blew the doors off our understanding of the parameters necessary for life. It also opened up a new era in the search for life in other extreme conditions on Earth, and perhaps other planets too. Now known as extremophiles, these creatures that live where we said they couldn't have been found in a range of other extreme habitats once thought inhospitable. Ice, boiling water, acid, the water core of nuclear reactors, salt crystals, and even toxic waste. And it all began with that 1977 dive in the Galapagos Rift, when biologists learned that, when it comes to life, we can never say never. To learn more about Alvin and the science of deep-sea vents, visit aqua.org/ablueview. This is John Racanelli of the National Aquarium for WYPR, your NPR news station.